السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
يوم جديد، صحبة جديدة. A new day, a new association. Discussing the importance of halakha. Since we were discussing it last Saturday, is that?
No.
You remember?
No.
After Zuhur. So we continue some of it now. Said that in 1330 Hijra, a story in Sha'ban, second of Sha'ban, was mentioned by Sayyidina Sheikh, Grand Sheikh, may Allah bless his soul, Sayyidina Sheikh Sharaf al-Din, Grand Sheikh. He said there was a deceased person, and they want to pray on him and to bury him. As soon as they put him in coffin and they want to carry him, after they prayed on him, they have to carry him and to take him to the cemetery, they were not able. That is an event happened long time ago. Someone that important in the community, that's the one who died. He was a good person, but they cannot carry anymore his coffin to take him to the cemetery. No one knew why. One man, two men, three men, five, 10, no way. 50 people tried, no way. It's stuck, it's glued on earth. No one can take that deceased person. Before we go in that story, I want to say a story that happened with me and my brother. There was in Tripoli, Lebanon, a wali called Sheikh Ahmad al-Sayyadi, originally from Homs, from Syria. And anyone goes to him, he has his house, he has his place, but he likes always to stay in his, there is a small shop in the downtown, in the market. He likes to stay in that shop. That shop might be from that window to here, very small. And in winter, when you go visit him, he has a container barrel that he put wood in it and get warm from the wood because it's cold. And the whole shop, the whole small place that he has, full of smoke from that wood. He's sitting there making zikr. People come to him, ask him questions. Someone is sick, someone is dead. he gives them different awrat to do in order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve them from their difficulties. His age was around 115 years old when he died. We knew him for a long time before he died, like 15 years. Has a lot of followers. I remember one day they said that there was a war in Lebanon, and in Tripoli there was in Lebanon, in the north side of Lebanon, a big town which now at least is 2 million people. They said that Sheikh Ahmad Sayyad's home was hit with a rocket. Everyone was concerned because he's inside, might die. So we went to see him. Alhamdulillah, he was okay. The rocket came inside the house, and you can see it open a hole and explode inside the room. And nothing happened to him. Not one wound. Not one injury, nothing. When Allah protects. Allah protects His awliya. He was such a person that lot of miracles used to happen in that city. Lot of awliya, Maulana Sheikh Nazim liked that city a lot. Lot of awliya there. There is a cemetery, they call it cemetery of awliya. Only awliya inside that cemetery. One of these awliya in the war, the war, Second World War, they say, his son, he was telling me that there was a, because of the war, the government ordered for the French army, because there were the French inside. French army, they ordered a huge vessel from France full of wheat to bake and make bread and cook and so on. A huge one from this, like 10,000, 20,000 ton carrying food for the French army. So I try to remember his name. Went out of my mind. So when that vessel approaching, there was a war inside the city. So they asked the vessel to move from the, it was approached and came to the shore in order to empty its load. And they ordered both the vessel to move out. So that wali, that sheikh, a very well-known story in Tripoli, he was sitting by the ocean, doesn't care war, not his business, sitting there fishing. Rockets are going everywhere. And he's sitting by the shore, fishing. And suddenly they saw him, he took his
fishing pole,
and because the boat is still at the shore, it has to move. So he throw it on the boat, as if fishing the boat. The neighboring homes there that they were looking, because it's the sea, they can see him. They are asking him to come in. He said, no, I'm not coming in. Trying to remember his name. So he threw it and left it on the boat. He said to him from the windows, what you are doing? He said, don't worry, I'm fishing. What you are fishing? It's the boat you are fishing? He said, I'm fishing the boat. So when the order came to the boat to move, the boat cannot move. they put all their power, engine power, to move the boat with his fishing pole inside. They cannot move the boat. He said, this boat is confiscated until all the load will go to the people inside the city, not to the army. All these provisions that boat is carrying will be given to the poor people in the city to eat. Then I take my fishing pole out and the boat can move. Whatever they did with him, his hand, no one can move his hand. Hundreds of armies. They emptied the boat. He took his fishing pole. That boat moved. In that city, that kind of awliya there are, Tripoli, Lebanon. So Ahmad al-Sayyadi, that happened with us. Direct one. It's related to the story they are mentioning about the one who was deceased. His student decided to bury him in an area outside the city. So you have to walk from his masjid, from his area, walking distance, like 1 hour. You have to carry the janazah and go 1 hour. And then you have to go up when you it's a normal highway. You go in an area called Bab al-Ramal. It was all Ramal, sand there. So you have to walk all that way, and then you have to go a hill, and you have to walk through that hill all the way, like half an hour, to reach that cemetery. They want to bury him there, because they want him to be a huge maqam and so on, to his mosque or something. So me and my brother, we told them, it's better not to bury him there, it's better to bury him in his own mosque. By his mosque is the cemetery that is all awliya, full of awliya. They said, no way, we will not accept, we have to take him up all day. We said, it's not advisable, it's better to bury the wali where he is always wants to be buried. You don't need to use your mind. They refused. They decided to take him up. So what to do? We have to go with them. And the whole city closed, at least 100,000 people behind his coffin. They prayed on him on the big mosque in Tripoli. The big mosque can take at least, with its outside, 20,000. It was impossible to take the people who want to pray. They were praying on the streets outside. And then carrying the janazah, we were behind it on the way, moving. And as soon as they reached the hill to go, the coffin stopped. They're carrying the coffin, and they want to go on the hill, they were not able to move because the coffin is resisting. 10 people, 20 people, 30 people. He was so slim. He doesn't weigh 100 pounds. He was very big worshipper. Doesn't eat. Might be eat 3 dates a day, that's it. 7 dates. And water, that's it. Very skinny. No way. They tried their best to move the coffin. The coffin is moving them back. So they came. What to do? No one knows what to do. They have to take him out. So we said, take him back to his... Might be he wants to go back to his own place. That's cemetery of Awliya. Go there. They said, oh, it's impossible. He said, try. As soon as they directed the coffin back the opposite way, coffin moved. no resistance. Turn back to the hymn, the coven stops. Doesn't want. So immediately they decided to go back. They turned and they went back. They bury him, and his will was to bury him by his mosque on the street. For everyone coming and going, he can see them, and people can see him recite for him Fatiha. He said, I want to be on the street where people are going and coming, to tell them that I am nothing. I am by the street. You see me, I see you, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Behind him, his own mosque there, and the cemetery of Awliya. So Awliya Allah, they have that kind of power that after they die, they resist if they don't like. Like many today, you cannot open their graves. They don't let you. Governments want to open a highway. In many countries, I saw that they try to open highways and they want to take these shrine or this, what you call them, graves of Awliya. They find resistance. Until one time there is in Damascus, near the family of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where they are buried, and Sayyidina Bilal were buried, many Sahaba were buried in that cemetery. Outside the cemetery, there was a small cemetery, which there was a sheikh buried in it, Sheikh Sa'duddin Jabawi, from Ahlul Bayt. And also the same, they want to open a road. He's buried there, and there is a mosque, small mosque on his grave. When they say, oh, how you can pray in a mosque with a grave? Allah said in the Holy Quran to Ashabul Kahf, wabnu alayhim masjid. Build a mosque on their graves. Build a mosque on their grave in Surah Al-Kahf, to make it a place where people can come and read Fatiha and do zikr. So that Sa'duddin Jabawi was in the middle of the road. And the government decided to open a highway, so they have to take his grave. They brought bulldozers to take the grave. It cannot. Bulldozer come to the wall, cannot move, finish, it freeze. Push it, it freeze. Push it, it freeze. Then they went to the Mufti, the Grand Mufti of Damascus. They said, this is the situation, what we do? Grand Mufti at that time, he loves Grand Sheikh. He asked Grand Sheikh, and Grand Sheikh said, you cannot take him. It's 500 years ago, died. You cannot take him. You want to take him, make zikrullah there all night. With zikrullah, he will accept. So they took the advice of Grand Sheikh. They went down and they did zikrullah all night. The next day, they asked the bulldozer to come, and then it was able to move the cemetery and came to his grave. They begin to dig. It was he's allowing them to dig. Before he's not allowing anyone to dig. They opened, and a beautiful smell came. He is fresh, alive, as if he is alive. He was buried today. They moved him and they put him now on the side of the highway. It's still his masjid there. You can see it, and he is buried there now. Awliya Allah, they have that power. That in their life and in their death, Allah gave them freedom. So that man here in the story that Grand Sheikh mentioned long time ago, he, no one can carry, no one can take him up. So they decided to bring more men, and more men came, no way to take him up. Then one said, the Sheikh is sending a message. The Sheikh is sending a message, Sayyidina Sheikh Sharafuddin is, that if you want to take him, you have no choice except to follow what Imam Shafi'i used to do. And what he used to do is that one time someone died in the time of Imam Ash-Shafi'i, and no one knows who is that person. So according to Islamic Sharia, they have to take care of him. So they washed him and they want to carry his coffin. They were not able. So Imam Shafi'i at that time, he said, let us sit in a circle. He ordered the people to sit in a circle and do zikrullah. So then they were able to carry his janazah, his coffin, and take him to cemetery. So he said, do the same, and then you'll be able to carry him and take him to the cemetery. And he say that they called all the ulama and the students, and they sit in a huge circle, and they recited 70,000 times zikrullah. And they gave the reward of that recitation to that janazah, to that deceased person in the coffin. As soon as they finish and they give that to the deceased person, they feel the coffin like something was freezing, and then it's not freezing anymore, it's moving. So they felt that the coffin is shaking. They approach and they try to carry, it was light like a feather, was able to raise up. They asked, what is the wisdom that deceased person, 50 people were not able to carry him before, and now with this recitation, he was being able to be carried. This I'm speaking about the importance of haraka, circle of zikrullah. Because it, circle of zikrullah is a cleansing process. It cleans you from all your sins. That's why it's important to attend zikrullah, whatever it is. If there is no one doing it, you do it by yourself. But don't lose it. Only you are excused when you are sick, or you have important guest, or you are traveling. Then you are not obliged to go to a circle of zikrullah. But when you are other than these three excuses, you are in a normal life, go and attend, because there is a lot of barakah in it that help you during your life. That's why Grand Sheikh never accepted anyone to miss zikrullah at least once a week. That zikr that we are doing today, the khatm, this small khatm, we call khatm al-saghir, that we are doing now after Grand Sheikh passed away, this Maulana Sheikh Nazim, usually they do it, he does it in Western countries. But in Damascus or Lebanon, he does the big zikr. A grand sheikh advice was to do it every day, not once a week. Once a week is the big one, is the big khatm, big zikr. We count on the pebbles. So there is lot of barakah that comes from zikrullah, because it will clean all the sins and mistakes that we have done from the past week to the coming week. He was asked, what was wrong with this person that no one was able to carry him from the floor? He doesn't want to move. He said, that man was very pious. No mistakes, no sins, very few sins. He didn't do anything wrong in his life. But his main problem is he was not yahtam.
Okay, take care.
Take care of his obligations. He does it, but carelessly. He doesn't do sins. He tried to be okay, but he was not taking care carefully of his... He was a good person, go to his work, come from his work, but doesn't do sins, go to his home, sit with his family, next day go to work, not doing something backbiting on conspiracies or sins, but he was careless for his obligations. Because he was careless, he fell into innovations. Because when you are careless with your obligation, you begin to make fatwa to your mind, to yourself, and make this give excuses to yourself why you are not taking care of your obligation. This will bring from within you an innovation toward your obligations. You become like today we have on the internet, grand muftis on internet now. That they don't accept to be muftis only, they became grand muftis. 20 years of age, 18 years or 15 years old. You don't know who is on the internet becoming grand mufti and innovating and bringing new stuff to Islam. And I'm saying, this came here now from Grand Sheikh's note to tell those who are on the internet, wherever they are, if they are listening, and to ourselves, that too many of these what so-called sheikhs, they are falling and making their followers falling into the innovations because they don't know anything from Sharia. They never studied Sharia. They've been given authority to do zikr because you cannot do zikr. The world is big today. They give permission to do zikr. They begin to innovate, they begin to make irshad. They have no right to do irshad. They begin to innovate excuses for themselves which apply on their followers. That's, they are going to face a huge problem. And the problem is that they misled their followers, those who like them or come to sit with them, they mislead them and they deviate from the right way of tariqah. Because tariqah is azimatu sharia. Tariqah is not rukhsatu sharia. Rukhsa is
excuse.
The lowest level of Sharia when you do rukhsa means you give excuse to yourself in many issues, in your obligations. Rukhsa to Sharia. Azima is you don't accept any mistake in your obligations. So tariqa is azima to Sharia. Tariqah is the order, the teachings of awliya, it goes
stringent.
I don't know what's this word.
Stringent.
Determination.
Strict way of